You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. California's birth rate is at a near historic low, which hasn't been seen in more than a century. The findings come from the Public Policy Institute of California. And according to the report, the number of births hit a peak in 1992, and more than 30 years later, that number has dropped by roughly a third. And California isn't an outlier, but following a broader trend across the country of young adults delaying children or just nixing it altogether. That decision is far from simple. It includes economic, financial realities, as well as cultural shifts. Although the numbers may not seem significant now, in the decades to come, the decline can have significant consequences for society, both good and both problematic. Helping us unpack the challenges is Henry Gonzalez, a Sacramento State professor of family studies and human development. Also joining us is Jordan Davidson, author of So When Are You Having Kids? Thank you both for being here, Jordan and Henry.
Happy to be here.
Thank you, Vicky.
So, Jordan, I want to start with you. What a fitting title for this conversation. So, When Are You Having Kids? What prompted you to write this book?
The book was really born of my own apprehensions around having children and trying to make that decision for myself. I've always thought that I wanted kids, but for health reasons, my doctors had encouraged me to have them earlier rather than later. And I definitely wasn't prepared to have children in my 20s. And so that really made me think about, you know, having children in general and whether that was something that I wanted to do. And it really didn't seem like there were resources to help people parse through their apprehension. And so that's why, you know, I wanted to write my book and create a resource for people who are struggling to make that decision on their own.
You know, when I have conversations with my friends or family, I mean, the reasons for delaying children or just not wanting to have them are so varied, and it's a very individual decision. You spoke to people, you know, all over asking their input about how they're deciding whether to expand a family or have one altogether. What were some of the responses that you heard?
Well, you're correct in saying that it's a very personal and individualized decision. But I would say that the major themes that I heard among people who were apprehensive were things like financial difficulties. So people who feel like they don't have job security, who are paying student loans, who have debt, who just don't feel like they financially can afford having children. A lot of feeling not optimistic about the future. That could be for environmental reasons, social injustice. And then there is the cost of healthcare and childcare. Childcare right now, most parents expect to pay over $10,000 a year. And in California, the average cost of daycare is nearly $300 a week. So, you know, it's not a small cost in deciding to have children. And that really concerns people that not only will they not be able to afford having children, but that it would severely disadvantage them and their, you know, current financial standing.
Yeah. Well, Henry, you're a professor at Sac State. In many ways, you have a front row seat to anecdotes about the apprehension or what goes into the decision of having a family. What do you hear from students and how has that evolved over the years?
Well, theory teaches us that young adults are responsive just like anyone else to their environment. And what they're finding is that a lot of them are feeling the pressures of the financial volatility of their lives, but also the pricing costs of living in California and other parts of the country. And what they're finding is that college education or these 4 to 6 years that they're spending their time in their 20s are helping them delay these important life choices. And in essence, it's helping them make an informed decision about whether they're going to make a commitment to this long-term choice. Jordan mentioned, it's a very costly choice, but also one that is going to alter their family life in the future. And a lot of the students are thinking about it, but not yet making that choice.
Right. And this also goes along with, are people delaying getting married? I mean, I could just talk about my group of friends. Like, people are waiting longer to get married if they even choose to do it. So does that, are they related, you know, waiting longer to get married and then kind of weighing whether to even have children?
Yes, many of them are considering getting married. They're not doing it now, but they will do so later in their 20s. Some are even thinking about waiting until their 30s. At times, some individuals are not getting married and having children. It used to be the case that this used to be a milestone for young adults in their 20s. Now this milestone seems to be pushed to early 30s, late 20s, and then waiting there to have children thereafter. And that's if they choose to decide if they're going to have children. Family is being redefined today than it ever was before, where family doesn't necessarily have to involve children. And individuals are making that choice of just simply getting married and then living their lives later in life.
Right. And especially when you talk about the cost of living in California, I mean, the homeowner rate, I think, is like less than half of California residents. So you couple that with student loans and that it's really necessary to have a dual income. So you have two people who are working full time, potentially more than one job. I mean, that probably plays a role in whether you take in the financial cost of having a child.
Exactly. And I would say that when two individuals are working, it means that who is going to be taking care of a child, whether it be a grandparent or a relative, that's not necessarily always the case. Grandparents are getting older. And if they're wondering, too, if they're ever going to become parents, these older parents, if they're going to become grandparents. And so the cost of childcare is, especially in California, has risen remarkably high. We're actually finding that fewer and fewer childcare workers are in existence, and therefore some parents have to actually wait close to a year to actually find a placement for their child.
Yeah. I have friends who basically had to look around the moment they found out that they were pregnant. So that's like 9 months away. Jordan, are you hearing that too when you were interviewing people?
Definitely. There's a lot of concerns about the availability of childcare and the cost of childcare. And I think that people are really apprehensive about how they're going to care for their children in a two-parent household when they both have to work.
Hmm. Yeah, there are other states, though, that are faring a little bit better. I mean, a state like Utah, it does have a majority Mormon population, has one of the highest birth rates. It's nearly two per pregnant person. What impact, Jordan, do you think religion has on the decision to have a child in California, and has that evolved over the years?
So religiosity is one of the greatest predictors of whether people will have children, and it's not necessarily tied to a specific faith or denomination, but typically people of faith who are strongly practice a religion are more likely to have children and multiple children. And so the lowest birth rate is actually among people who identify as atheist. And in states where you have a higher population of people who practice a specific religion, you tend to see higher birth rates. But in states that tend to be more secular, the birth rate can be lower.
Hmm. Are you seeing that as well, Henry, in the classroom and through your research?
Very much so. It seems like even in the regional side of things, not just religiosity in urban centers such as in the Bay Area or even Southern California, San Diego, and Los Angeles, big urban centers in the state, we're finding that secular young adults are, yes, less likely to have children or simply have fewer children if they choose to do so. While in counties that tend to be much more rural and religious, such as the Inland Empire or even Tulare County, for example, have more children. And you think about the size of the homes that they could actually have availability to, allows them to therefore have more than one or two children, which seems to be the average nowadays.
Right. But given also that rural counties have less access to health services, does that become problematic if rural counties in California have higher birth rates than in urban centers?
It could be the case because if you do not have insurance here in the state, it could cost up to about $20,000 to have a birth of a child without health insurance. Even when having health insurance, it's not always guaranteed that there's going to be no out-of-pocket cost. So it could vary very costly for those who are not working or don't have reliable health insurance.
Yeah. And Jordan, I mean, this hits to a bigger issue. Like, according to a New York Times report, the U.S. has the highest maternal mortality rates for a Western industrialized country, with the number being drastically higher for Black women. Does that factor in, do you think, to the decision whether to have children or choosing not to have children? And what kind of disparities does this create?
Definitely. That was something that I heard a lot from the Black women who I interviewed for the book, that they were concerned about the maternal mortality rate and looking at, you know, public figures like Beyonce and Serena Williams, who have come out and said that they had traumatic experiences in their pregnancy and birthing experiences, and that there is no, you know, income or level of celebrity that can protect you and make sure that you survive pregnancy and birthing, that is really something that weighs heavy on Black birthing people.
You know, and as people, if they do choose to have children, are waiting longer, there's, you know, a term if you're 35 or older, which I think people can find offensive. It's called geriatric pregnancy when you're 35 or older. Jordan, I mean, what kind of, do you think we're going to continue to see this trend, people waiting until they're 35 or older to have children? And what issues or concerns can arise from waiting this long?
Definitely. I think that a lot of people are going to continue to wait to have children. Right now, there are more people in their 40s who are having children than teens. And in the 90s, that wasn't the case. So you had a higher teen pregnancy rate than people in their 40s. And so I think that you're going to keep seeing trends like that, especially as, you know, if there is a improving trend of health insurance covering fertility services, which we're starting to see a bit more and more, where people will put off having children. I think the challenge to that is that even though IVF and egg freezing can help people build their families, it's not guaranteed. And so it can be really difficult to, you know, go through these processes and these procedures and then not have a family at the end of the day when you've been told that, you know, oh, you can wait and use these technologies to have children. And that's not always the case. And that's something that I think is very important to talk about if you're someone who is thinking about delaying children, because even though egg freezing can provide somewhat of an insurance policy, it's never guaranteed. And the outcome is better the earlier you freeze your eggs. So if you are 40 and you decide to freeze your eggs because you're not in a position to have children, the success is much lower than if you were 30 and decided to freeze your eggs. And so it's really important that we talk realistically about the success rate of these things, because if you're using these technologies to delay having children, they may not always be successful.
Yeah. And Henry, I see you nodding along. What concerns you, or what stands out to you just about this trend?
Well, one of the things that I also do is study parenting. And so it has implications for those adults who will be having children. If you're older, you're much more likely to be an established position. And so I believe this could be a good thing for those who are thinking about becoming parents and are really giving it a very hard thought. It used to be the case is we assume that this is a very natural step in life to have a child or two. But I think adults are really starting to think very carefully and closely about if to have kids and how many. And that has good implications for parenting. Parents who are satisfied about being parents are likely to be more competent, to experience fewer stressors, and actually do a better job and feel more skilled about it than if parents feel that they were pretty much stuck having to be parents or be pressured into this position that can be very costly, but also very, very extraneous at times.
Yeah. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Sacramento State Professor Henry Gonzalez and Jordan Davison, a health journalist and author, about the near record birth rate decline in California. Jordan, you brought up climate change and the environment. And in your book, you also take this environmental turn. You talk about a study that was published by the Environmental Research Letters, which found that having one less child was the highest impact a person can have to lower their carbon footprint. People you're talking to, are they actually taking this into consideration, weighing their impact on climate change?
Yes, I was surprised by how many young people were factoring in the environment in their decisions. And it was most of the people who I spoke to who felt the most strongly about this were from West Coast states, especially California. You know, living now and seeing wildfires and climate events happening, I think before we were told that they would necessarily become so dire, has really made people concerned that they're not going to be able to, you know, what do I do in the case of a wildfire? I have to, you know, carry a baby out of the house and my family, and really panicking that they are in a position where they may not be safe, and thinking as well, you know, about their carbon footprint and how they decrease that. And that has, for some people, made them think, okay, maybe I would want a smaller family Or for some people that I spoke to, that they don't want children at all, and that maybe if they did, they would do something like adopt or be involved in a child's life in another way.
Henry, are you seeing this as well with your students going from what is a very personal and individual decision to also thinking about collective responsibility?
Yes, many of our students are very environmentally conscious nowadays. They're seeing the wildfires, the other natural catastrophes, and they're realizing that there's a lot of economic uncertainty, whether they themselves can have a child at home with their parents and how that puts them at risk of losing a home and not knowing where to turn to. Another thing is having a child or two increases your chances of poverty. And so therefore, not having a home to turn to in an emergency for shelter, you're putting your children at risk and, of course, yourself as well.
Well, as a consequence then, you know, as the birth rate in California has been on a decline over the last three decades, what implications does this have for what is now a top-heavy baby boomer and Gen X generations, and currently they span from the mid-40s to the 70s, who will require more care in the years to come? And we've had these discussions. It's called like a silver wave throughout the state. What impact do you think this will have, Henry?
Well, I did mention the older adults just a second ago and the potential grandparents, but a lot of them are going to have to reckon with the reality that they may not become grandparents. But it also means that their adult children will be able to be around much more often and care for them if needed. The elderly services or elderly care can be very costly, especially in our state. And I believe that having children that can care for you can be, for our society, can be a good thing, especially when we're having fewer and fewer younger children to care for elders or for our Social Security. I think it could be a good thing for elders to have a child or two around to help them support them.
Jordan, did you get better insight on this talking to people?
I think that there is a challenge of the old age insurance, and there are a lot of young people who are leaning no, but part of what keeps them from decidedly saying no is that fear of who is going to take care of me when I'm older. And I think it's really hard for people to wrap their heads around aging without children because there aren't so many examples of it in current society. But of course, there never is a guarantee that your children will take care of you in old age. You know, there are certain circumstances where families become estranged, or parents outlive their children, and so you know it's hard to say that children can really provide old age insurance because you just don't know that your children will be in the financial position even to care for you as you get older. And that was something that I heard from child-free adults who, you know, children who don't have children, that they look at their peers who have grandchildren or, you know, who are in nursing homes and saying, you know, oh, I don't feel like my peers are so much better off than me because they complain about their grandkids not visiting and things like that. And so I think that topic is really complicated and, you know, not the best reason necessarily to have children just so, you know, that you can feel, you know, sleep easy at night, knowing that you have some sort of old age insurance.
Yeah. Finally, I'm just curious, how do you want people to think about the birth rate outside of it being a very personal decision, but also how it impacts society? I think about countries like Japan, where they have an aging population, not as many people are having children, and that has an impact to from an economic standpoint to just the country. You have kind of ghost cities. How do you want people to think about the birth rate? Henry, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I want them to realize that adults today are making very informed choices for themselves and what fits with their lifestyle and what family life they would like to have for themselves. Whether it's a decision to not get married or not have kids, it's a response to the environment that they're living in. And it's a wise choice, a careful choice for themselves. And I think a lot of young adults have much more freedom than ever in the past to redefine what a life is for themselves, especially a family life, that obviously we know that many of these milestones can be very costly. A wedding, childbirth and childbearing and raising a child can be very costly. And I think that a lot of adults have to understand that this may just be the reality for not just today, but possibly for the future. We're living much older here in the U.S. Some estimates suggest that we're living close to our 70s to late 70s. And so we have to reckon with this reality that we will be having, children are not going to be necessarily something that's going to help us understand what our life outcomes will be. I mean, it used to be the case that children were a natural milestone, but I think that we have to think things through much more carefully.
Jordan, how do you want people to think of the birth weight as it relates and impacts society?
It's definitely a tough one. I was reading something earlier today about the birth rate in Japan, and one of the researchers was saying how there really aren't supports for parents. And I think that that's the case largely in the US too. The US society is largely seen as a pronatalist society, which means that our society places a high value on having children and endorses having kids as a key part of adulthood. But in practice, our society acts in a lot of opposite ways because we don't have sufficient support systems for parents. There is no paid maternal leave. We don't have any sort of, you know, nationwide universal childcare. And so I think that there needs to kind of be this foundational level of support if we want to see people having more children. And so I think it's very difficult to say on an individualistic level, you know, people need to have more children so that we, you know, for an economical or societal perspective, because I think that there's a lot of things that we need to fix to make people feel more comfortable and confident in their decision to have kids.
Jordan and Henry, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Henry Gonzalez is a professor of family studies and human development at Sac State. Jordan Davidson is the author of So, When Are You Having Kids? Still ahead, we'll meet a hiker whose epic trek across the Pacific Crest Trail, PCT, became a journey to overcome dire medical odds and found healing from traumatic injuries along the way. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.